Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
Thank you.
today's scripture lesson is going to come from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Brothers and sisters, you don't need anyone to write to you about times and dates. You know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When people say, everything is safe and sound, destruction will suddenly strike them. It will be as sudden as labor pains come to a pregnant woman. They won't be able to escape, but brothers and sisters, you don't live in the dark. That day won't take you by surprise as a thief would. You belong to the day and the light, not to the night and the dark. Therefore, we must not fall asleep like other people, but we must stay awake and be sober. People who sleep, sleep at night. People who get drunk at night. Since we belong to the day, we must be sober. We must put on faith and love as a breastplate and hope of salvation as a helmet. It was not God's intention that we experience his anger, but that we obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake in this life or asleep in death, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage each other and strengthen one another as you are doing.
Come to the book of Matthew chapter 25, and we see that there are three stories in that chapter, three of which are parables that Jesus shares with the disciples, the scribes, and the Pharisees about what's to be anticipated when the Son of Man comes back to earth. And the first of those stories is about the 10 virgins, the second of which is that story about the talents, and the third of which is that parable we know as the sheep and the goats. And so today we read from Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 14 through verse 30. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and to one he gave each. To one he gave each was, and to another he gave 1, to each according to his ability. Then the master went away. The one who had received 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more. In the same way, the one with 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5. See, I have made 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents, and see, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew that I did not reap where I did not sow and get where I did not scatter. Then you ought to have invested my money with bankers, and on my return I would have received was mine plus interest. So take the talent with him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But for those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. And as for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Well, as you look at the scripture lectionary that I frequently look at as I'm thinking about sermons, we realize that we're coming into the end of the Christian year that we, as we know it, which begins with the first Sunday of Advent and ends just prior to Thanksgiving, or just the week after in this case. And we realize that we're celebrating Thanksgiving this week and the last Sunday leading up to Advent. And we find Jesus coming to the end of his time and is both preparing and warning the disciples and the people and the scribes and the Pharisees about the days to come. And I find that these days I find a great number of people, particularly music artists, who think that perhaps we might very well be coming into those last days of Jesus getting ready to return to earth. But yet, we know that we don't know the time, we don't know the place or the hour, and so we shouldn't get too hung up with that. But it also is fitting because as we come into Advent, we think about Advent in the sense that we're preparing for Christ coming into the world, but we're also preparing for Christ's return as well as we think about Advent. It's not just the birth of Christ we think of, but we think about the birth of Christ's return. And so it's fitting that we should be thinking about that as well. Well, Holly read just a few moments ago from Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica. We were reminded that Jesus will return, but we won't know when or how. But we, in the time being, and the time that's left, whatever that time is, should continue with our Christ-like ways. We should continue to prepare. We should continue to bring folks to the gospel by sharing the gospel with people that we know and don't know who need to hear the word. We should continue to be the light of Christ. We should continue to be the light of Christ in a very dark world at times and be able to share that light with others. And as we look at this book of Matthew, we see three stories that have some very important lessons for us in this time in which we live. Now, those three parables were told to clarify what it means to be ready for the return of Christ and how to live until Christ comes. And the first story in that is the story of the 10 virgins who have their lamps lit and they're waiting for the bridegroom to come back and take them to the wedding celebration and to make that procession through town. And five of them find that their lamps have gone out, and so they find themselves begging the other virgins to let them borrow oil from them, and they won't, and so they go off to buy oil for their lamps, and then they're not found being ready when the bridegroom comes, and so they're left behind, not ready when they should have been. And that second parable we're going to talk about. And then that third parable is the story of the sheep and the goats, when Jesus talks to them about, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was sick, you visited me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And they said, Lord, when did we do that? And they said, when you've done it unto the least of these, my friends, you've done it unto me. And they were going to be separated, divided, depending upon what they had done for those around them. If they had done well and had been visiting and clothing and those kind of things, they'd be the sheep. If they hadn't, they were going to be put aside with the goats. But in this story, we have the story of the talents. And it's not really about money that we're talking about. We're talking about abilities. We're talking about abilities, if you will. The talents were not about how much they were worth, but more about how much they weighed. And depending upon what they were, whether it was gold, silver, or copper, and the weight of those determined how much of a talent they had. And one talent could well be worth a man's wages for 15 years. So we're talking about a fair amount of talent that this man leaves with these three gentlemen. Now, this story was no doubt intended not just for those who were ordinary, but they were designed for the scribes and Pharisees, because we know that they were the folks who were most after Jesus, most did not like what Jesus had to say, because he brought things that were new, were different, were unusual than what they knew the scripture to be, what they knew the text to be. And so this story is really meant, particularly that story of the one man with the one talent, was designed for them, because they were very concerned about keeping the rabbinical law. Remember those 10 commandments and then those 606 other laws that they liked to remember. They wanted to keep everything just as it was. They didn't like things that were new. They didn't like things that were challenging. They didn't like things that were different. And Jesus certainly represented all of that, because Jesus would say to them, the scribes and the Pharisees say to you this and say that the law says this, but I tell you that Scripture says. And oftentimes what he shared with them was not exactly what they said it was. Their interpretation of what they understood things to be was very different. And so when he talks about that one man, he's thinking of the scribes and Pharisees, because they would have been the ones who would have taken that talent, buried it in the ground, and would have hidden it, because they didn't want it to change. They didn't want it to be different. They wanted it to stay as it was. They wanted to put a fence around the law and keep it just as it was. But that was why they had such trouble with Jesus, was because he brought new and different ideas to them. And they were intensely unhappy with him. So our lessons, as we think about this parable, first of all, Jesus has no room for a religion without adventure. He wants our faith, our activity, our life with Jesus to be an adventure. Shouldn't be stale and hum-hum and doldrum. And we ought to have a little fun. We ought to have a little excitement in our faith, should we not? Jesus liked to have a party, for one thing. And we ought to be able to have a party and have fun and have an adventure and be challenged in our journey of faith. You know, these boxes are kind of that adventure. We have no idea where those boxes are going to land. You know, last year they landed in Colombia. Who knows where they'll land this year? But there'll be 34 little children, ranging from age 2 to age 14, that are going to open those boxes and be amazed. I think I've told you the story about the young man on a Gaither video that got a box, and helper was there with him and said, "Let's open the box. I don't want a box," he said. "Why not? I don't want a box." And so he encouraged him to open the box, and the young man finally opened the box, and they sifted through it, and at the bottom of the box there was a note, and there was a picture. And this young man, what he really wanted was a set of parents. And so the helper encouraged him to put together a note and to write a note back to the family that had sent him, the couple that had sent him that box. Luck would have it, a few months later, that couple received his note back. And later on, they made a trip to where this young man lived, visited with him. And as the story goes, they became his parents. So we don't know what happens when those boxes arrive. But you take the time out of not knowing to pack a box that's going to reach a child, and they're going to be blessed by that box. And that's an adventure. You see, Jesus does not want us to shut our minds to God. We need to keep our minds open, keep our antennas up for what God might be trying to say to us. God gives us differing gifts. Now, the world would be pretty boring if we all had the same gifts, would it not? Because you'd all be feuding over who was going to preach on a given Sunday morning. Not. I always tell people when I see them on Friday or Saturday, I'll see you in church, and if I'm not there, you preach. And they look at me like, "Well, I don't think that's going to happen." Nobody's just itching to get into this pulpit, I find. But we all have differing gifts, and we have to practice with those gifts. We have to use those gifts in order to get better at them. You know, if you take up playing golf, I thought, where are my golf clubs? I couldn't remember having seen them recently. Well, I realized they were in the garage. Now, I can guarantee you that if I went out to the golf course at Heritage Point right now, I'm not sure if I could swing a golf club in a way that would make it any sense. Golf is one of those things you have to play, you have to practice, you have to play consistently in order for it to work. Much like a lot of other things. When I was bowling a few years ago, I finally got the prize for the most improved bowler on the last year. Because every week I went, every Wednesday. Some Wednesdays I wondered, why do I bother with this? Because it was so awful. But it finally did pay off, throwing that ball down the alley at those pins. We have to practice. We have to use those gifts. We have to practice the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit. We have to practice being patient. It's time for us to start doing fist pump, by the way. We have to practice being loving. We have to practice being self-control, being in control. We have to practice all of those. We don't naturally automatically have all those gifts. Some of us are blessed with one in particular, and we use that to our strength. But the others, we go, I'm not so good at that one. But we have to practice using that so that we can get good at, because God has given us those gifts. We just have to use them. God has given us a specific talent. Are you using that talent? Are you using that talent to the best of your ability? Now, when you're using that talent, unfortunately, you might not like the next thing I'm going to say, and that is the reward for using it is there's more to do. Sorry. There's more to do. When you get done with that activity, God says, well, you did that so well, I'm going to give you something else to do. And sometimes what we struggle with is we get weary in the doing. We lose our joy sometimes. And we mustn't lose our joy, because what we're doing is for Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that I'm very aware of, and I was thinking about this as I was working on this sermon, at how generous this congregation is. Last week you did almost $2,500 for UMCOR. You did $4,600 for Mission of the Month. In October, you blessed me with $1,900. You've spent, these boxes represent $306 in postage and plus whatever else goes in them. I don't have any doubt that when John leaves here this morning that there's going to be some money in a Bible. You gave money to a gospel group last Sunday morning. There are little cards on a tree over here that you're going to take, and you're going to use your talents, and you're going to take those, and you're going to use those and help someone else have a blessed Christmas. You don't ever cease to fail to amaze me at what you do. You are generous. You are giving. And that's a good thing. That's a talent. That's an ability. Some congregations are not that way. They give out of their scarcity and not out of their abundance. You give out of your abundance, my friends, and that's a talent. And I want you to hear that this morning. That's something to be good for, proud of. Now, don't stop. I just want you to be aware that's part of your makeup. That's part of your DNA. But we have to continue to do more work. We have to continue to practice our talent. We have to continue to practice doing good work. We can't sit back and rest on our laurels. You know, it's really easy when we do something well and we've done such a good job, I'll just sit back here and rest for a while and take it easy for a while, put my feet up and just sit back for a while. The trouble is we can forget to get back up and keep going. We have to keep moving. Now, Jesus says, however, that there is punishment if we're not trying. Hopefully you're not like the scribes and Pharisees. I don't think you are. But if you're not trying, not making an effort to use that talent that God has given you, there's going to be some trouble ahead. Well, I can't do anything. God hasn't given me a talent. Why? What would I have to offer to God? There's nothing that I can do. Can you pray? Yeah. Can you write a note? Yeah. Can you go visit somebody? Yeah. There's lots of things you can do. But you have to try. You have to make an effort at it. That's all. That's the minimum that God asks us to do. Those who have more will be given more. Those who have less will be given less and will not be rewarded. So the old adage that I think you hear, if you're in physical therapy, you have to use it or you'll lose it. Sorry, Pat. You know, if you don't use that limb, eventually that limb isn't going to do anything. It's just going to hang there on the side of your body, and it's not going to be worth a whole lot. But if we use this body on a regular basis, it's going to continue to function. And if we use the talents that God has given us, continue to exercise them, continue to know what they are, continue to stretch ourselves. Sometimes we need to stretch ourselves and see if we can learn a new talent. I had people, when they found out that I was doing rubber stamping some years ago, they went, "Huh? I never would have thought that one." I said, "Well, that's your opinion, but that is what it is, you know." They just couldn't see me picking up a rubber stamp and a pad of ink and going blup, 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 blup on a piece of paper. This wasn't in their idea, in their mindset. But you know what? It worked. Opened up that creative venue in my mind, in my body. You know, I'm the same kid that in kindergarten I got in trouble because I painted people black, because I colored people's faces black. Poor Mrs. Drake, I thought she was going to have a heart attack. Told my mother I'd never make it through high school. We only had a half year of kindergarten, by the way. So, you know, I never did much with art until I started picking up a stamp. So we have to exercise. We have to learn how to do new things. There are some things that I gave up on doing. My father learned to water ski by reading a book. Reading a book. Got up behind a boat, first time up. Up out of the water he went. Never had a trouble. Never fell out. Never fell down. Perfect. I, on the other hand, I have since given up water skiing. I don't like the feeling of my shoulders being torn out of my sockets, trying to get my back end up out of the water. It's a terrible sight. Don't think about it long. It's ugly. I gave up water skiing a long time ago. I don't have to endure this pain. I'd rather sit in the boat and watch other people get out of the water a lot easier than have to wait on me to get out of the water. You know, I gave up camel jockeying a while back ago too, because that got ugly too. There's things that we can't do. That it's okay if you can't do them, but there are other things that you can do, and we have to practice those things. So my question for you today is, what is your talent? What is your talent? What is your gift? What is your fruit? And are you using it so that God's glory, God's light may shine in you in the world in which we live, so that when the time comes, that there are not people left wondering about this thing called Jesus, but that you have done your very best to help share the cause of Christ to those who need to hear it. Amen.
The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org.
Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name.
You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.